Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Shalom, greeting to everyone. This is Brother Seth coming to you again with another episode of Blog Talk Radio. We are Five Smooth Stones. Welcome to another episode. And I have also here my wife, Arlene. Arlene, you want to say hi to the people?
Shalom.
Okay, folks, we are just here today, another day, another wonderful Sunday. The Most High blessed us to see, to be a blessing to you. So we just asking that today you'd pray with us, and as Paul said so often, and when he would share, he would say, you know, pray that he have the freedom to speak the words he is supposed to speak. So this is our prayer today, that you would do the same for us. We're very serious about this message, and we committed every Sunday to talk about it. Sometimes it's a challenge because, you know, you're being very repetitious, and it's very easy to not want to repeat the same things every week. But we know that we're getting people listening because I'm told by certain people at Blog Talk that this show is, you know, doing pretty good. They don't like to really tell you how you're doing in comparison to other people because obvious reason. But I know for a fact that I have quite a few listeners for such a short time that I've been doing this, and I'm thankful for that. And I take it to mean that people just want to know truth. That's the only thing I got to get out of it. It's not me, because I didn't invent any of this stuff I'm talking about. This is just flat-out Bible, and this Bible is older than me and anybody I really know. It's been around before me. It'll be around after me. This truth will stand no matter what happened. The best thing Brother Seth can do and Sister Arlene can do is align our lives up with this truth to receive blessings. That's all we can ever do. At the end of the day, it's just our opinion. But listener, if our opinion lines up with the scriptures, then our words has no less power than if the Most High spoke. Sometimes we just don't value ourselves. We do have the ability, the Most High even told us, to imitate him. Be ye followers of God, Elohim, as dear children. That's what the scripture says. So, we have the ability to speak words. Those words have the ability to change lives. The question is, what are you speaking? What are we speaking? Is it the words of the Father? Or is it some out of our imagination? If it is out of our imagination, we will fail. It's just that simple. So anyway, I just want to welcome again everybody to another episode of Blog Talk Radio. We're at blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. That's 5 smooth stones. Separate the words with underscores. Want to remind everyone, when you do get to that page, there will be a picture, our program picture. Below that is a link to a Google library. Click on that link and you will get an introduction to many of the books that have inspired us along our journey with much truth. I'm so thankful that the Most High brought the people, the authors, across our path that have been the blessing that they have been in our life, or the truth that they teach have been the blessing that it has been in our lives. It has truly transformed our lives. Now, obviously, we're not perfect, but I mean, as it regards to Israel and who are the true Jews, what is the Most High's purpose for them? Where are they at? How do you know who's a Jew? What does that have to do with today's world and our personal lives? Folks, we've been blessed in this area. And this is what we're trying to share. It's just that simple. A lot of you might wonder, what is 5 smooth stones? Why do you mention 5 smooth stones? There's basically five topics I talk about. Five topics I talk about. And those topics was birthed out of five questions I asked the Most High in 1988. After asking him those five questions, I'm not going to go over that. Y'all going to have to look to the previous archives, please, because for time's sake, we're just going to need to move on. But I admonish you to listen, please listen to the previous episodes. If you're having trouble with knowing who are the true Israelites or valuing that it's even important, you follow up, you stumble up on this broadcast today and you're saying, I don't see the value of it, I don't see the significance of it, I don't see the relevance of it, I would admonish you, if you love the Most High and you want to be a part of his end time move, what he is doing in the end time, and you don't want to miss him, it's not going to hurt you to give 2 hours of your life to listen to one of the archives, any one of them, regarding the amazing biblical proof of Jews. Excuse me, amazing proof of biblical black Jews 101. Click on any one of those in the archive, listen to it, and I guarantee you in this area it will be a blessing to you, okay? So while we're talking about the archives, just know that we have shows that we do. We do shows pretty much every other day. Like today we're talking about who are the real Jews and why that's important, how it's relevant to your life today, how it's vitally important today. Tuesday night at midnight, late night Tuesday for those late night owls, we are going to have on guests. We always try to invite guests from all over the planet that are Israelites, that are true Israelites, that can show that they fulfill prophecies of Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, and other scriptures throughout the Bible. They claim Jewry. They claim to be the true Jews or the true Israelites of the Bible. Okay? It's very important we highlight who these people are, because the people that are in Israel today, we do not, while we love them and respect them as our brothers and sisters as humans, we do not believe that they meet the criteria scripturally to be bloodline Israel. So, it's very important we understand who they are. The Bible talks about how the Most High would bring a nation from the north as a punishment against Israel or to Israel for their disobedience, that he would scatter the real Israelites into the four corners of the earth and bring a people from the north to occupy Israel as a punishment. That is who we believe the people are in Israel today. If not, the question is, when did those people come that were supposed to be a punishment? Folks, we believe that the people in Israel today are brought there as a punishment. So we interview people, and the biggest thing is the world today is 92% non-white, according to the United Nations. 92% non-white. So if the Most High has scattered Israel through the four corners of the earth, and they've been there for hundreds of years, thousands of years, then that would mean that Israel today in those four corners is going to be non-white. So in 1948, when Israel became a nation, and they started to return, supposedly, they call in Israel the Aliyah, or the law of return. I mean, the Aliyah or the Leah. When that happened, that land should have became non-white. But if you go to Israel today, and you go where the camera's at, the people that are there claiming to be the real Jews, biological descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are just simply too white to be in a land so close to Africa. So we know that this was all conspiracy. We don't acknowledge them as the true Israelites, but we do acknowledge them as human beings, and we have much love and respect for them, okay? So, again, folks, this is vitally important, because if you're studying your Bible, the scripture says certain things will happen to Israel, certain things will happen to Israel before the Messiah is to return and set up his millennial reign. Certain things are supposed to happen on our planet with Israel. Israel's kind of like a time clock, if you will. They're like some type of time clock. You know what is going to happen in our world based upon what's happening in Israel. So for end time prophecies or prophets who's out there, just put it like this. Without knowing who Israel is, there's a lot of confusion where it has to do with the Bible. It's going to look like the Most High is just picking on so-called African-Americans and other people that are the real true Israelites, and we'll prove that a little later on in the study. But it's going to look like he's picking on them because they're going to be at the bottom of society. Every nation is going to walk on them and rule over them. But that is what's to happen to Israel. But if you don't know that, it just looks like he's picking on these people. Also, the reason it's important is because it's going to look like this people is just basically dysfunctional and just inferior. And they, it's going to seem like this people is just ignorant and backwards. Because the Most High said that's the way it would be with these people if they're disobedient. So if you're just looking at these people and you don't acknowledge them as Israel, you can't help but to disrespect them. And this is why the nations of the world, as the Bible talks about, we talk about each week, are looking at Israel, and they have become a byword, a proverb to these people, just a shaking of the head among the nations. People look at Israel. Look at African Americans, and look at other certain scattered tribes throughout the planet. They're in Africa, they're in India, they're all over the world, and they don't understand why other people can come into this same place where they've been scattered, and they can make it, but these Israelites can't. So you got to understand that, as you can't help but to disrespect the real Israelites. They will look like niggas and coons, and I don't mean to say these words as far as, I don't mean to be vulgar here, but folks, they're going to look less than human. They're going to look very, very lazy and unproductive and this and that and the other because they're operating under the curse as a nation. Now, again, if someone will commit their life and commit their family, commit their household to the ways of the Most High and follow him, they will be blessed. But their nation, they will mourn for. So on Tuesday night, again, we're interviewing real Israel, non-white Israel that has been scattered throughout the four corners. And I really don't like to say non-white. Anybody that's living out of Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, we are interviewing them. We want to know where they're at. Okay? I've had the privilege to visit about 24 nations. And this is one of my main things that I've looked for in a lot of those nations. I've looked for people living out Deuteronomy 28 or Leviticus 26 and any scriptures that has to do with Israel. And I'm telling you for a fact, they are scattered. They are the four corners. They are not in the land of Israel. Now, we do have some brothers and sisters that in Dimona that left the United States in, I think, 1967 or around that time. And we do acknowledge them as being Israelites. They went early. And we also acknowledge our cousins, our Queen of Solomon and King Solomon and Queen of Sheba's son, Menelik, descendants in Ethiopia, the Falashia, or the Beta Israel in Ethiopia. We acknowledge them like our cousins, so to speak. But they're not a 12th tribe, but they still is a part of Israel. Okay, so that's on Tuesday late night we have that. Then on Thursday, the most popular show that I do, at least to y'all it is, and that is the One World Watch Society. The One World Watch Society. This is where we come together and study the One World Government or the New World Order, what they are doing on our planet, the political side of Five Smooth Stones, which is the host of this blog. So this is when Five Smooth Stones bring on guests sometimes and talk about different things that's going on in our world. again, the more political, getting into today's topics, events, past and present, trying to understand what is this kingdom of darkness setting up. So we over here at Five Smooth Stones on Thursday night talk about the New World Order. It's nothing more than a fake kingdom of God, or a fake kingdom of Elohim. That's all it is. All right, now watch this. On Saturday is my most popular topic, and the reason why is nothing breaks the back of white supremacy, and all these lies we've been taught all of our life in America, how we've been just taught and educated. We've been miseducated, as one person says in his book. That's another book in my library, The Miseducation of the Negro. But leprosy, we talk about Bible leprosy and how that all men come from the dust of the earth and how all men was made from brown dust. We explain, get into what then happened. If everybody was made from the dust of the earth, which is brown, how did we become white? We go off into breaking the back of racism and white supremacy by letting people know that we are all one nation. One people, one humanity made from the dust of the earth. And the dust just so happens to be brown. The Most High chose to make his man, his family, his first family, out of the brown dust of the earth. Don't ask me why he chose brown or why he didn't choose orange or something. But if he said it is good, you should say it is good. You shouldn't feel like somebody's about black power or down with the white man just because they want to have pride and value in that brownness that the Most High chose. It is natural and normal to be brown. Any man walking around on the earth that does not have Adam features and Eve features, for the most part, if it's something, well, let's just say it like this. Elohim made man brown. Okay? So our Heavenly Father made man of the dust of the earth. If someone end up with white skin, we have to ask why. And you'll find out that through the study of Leviticus 13 and various parts of the scripture, you'll find out that white skin was put upon mankind as a curse. It doesn't matter now, because Christ has come and his blood has taken away all of these sins and they can now be accepted into the kingdom. But also, if a person was losing hair, that was considered something that came about because of sin. A person grew too tall or too short or anything that was out of the norm was associated with the sin. But it wasn't just men that was losing pigmentation. So was plants, so was animals, so was insects. These things came about because of the fall. Go into that, folks, with much love and respect for all people. This is not no show. Five Fool Songs, this host does not discriminate. We ain't on no hatred. We ain't trying to do no reverse bell curve stuff. We're just strictly about truth. So today, let's jump into our program. Today, we're talking about, so again, those when we on the air. So today, I'm here with Arlene. We're talking about the whole revelation of being Israel. This whole revelation of being Israel. Arlene, why do you think it's important for the people to know that so-called African-American and other tribes scattered throughout the planet, anybody living out of Deuteronomy 28, as a people are Israel? It's not just African-American folks. It's not everybody black. It's whoever lives out of Deuteronomy 28. It's just that simple. And it just so happens that most of them are black or so-called black or brown. But we're not on this whole trying to make everything black kid. It's scripture, folks. We're talking about the word of the Most High right now. We're talking about the word that the Father has put upon our planet. All right? So if you want to follow Yahweh, this is what he is saying. He has given us his word, and this is how we know who true Israel is, whoever lives it out. It's just that simple. We ain't pro-black, pro-white, none of that foolishness. Darling, what do you have to say? Why do you think this is so important?
Well, I think it's important, for a couple of reasons, but I think that the focus is, that the Most High wants to be in relationship with all of his people, that, he created people to multiply, and he wants all of us to be a part of his kingdom. And that's all a spiritual, that's based on a spiritual basis, okay? So those of us that have accepted the Messiah has come as our sacrificial lamb, that means we have been purchased by a price. A very special price was paid for us to be members of the kingdom of the Most High. So with that being said, the reason that this message is so important is because we need to know our history. We are not saved. We're not made righteous because of our history. But if we understand who we are and where we come from, it will give us an understanding of what it is that we are to do to fulfill prophecy. The Most High came through the Jewish faith. He came through the Hebraic belief. He came through a system that had been set up with structure, with rules, with what is considered the law, the Mosaic law. And so the Mosaic law was given to help those people to understand how to live, how they were to serve the Most High, how they were to be able to do this without the Holy Spirit being on the earth. And when Christ was born, he was born into that lineage. He lived out that tradition, that lifestyle. And because he came through that lineage, it was something that he wanted and the Most High wanted to continue going forward. It doesn't mean everybody has to believe and be Jewish, but it does mean that he wants that to continue on, because he has a special assignment, per se, for Israel to fulfill prophetically, to usher in the second coming of the Most High, of the Messiah, And so what we need to know is who that unique group of people are, so that they're able to be positioned, so that they're able to line up with the scriptures and usher in the second coming of the Messiah. And if you don't know who you are, you can't be in the proper position to allow that to occur. So I would just like to say that's why it's important to know what, over the years, a lot of people, because of religiosity and tradition, they've totally discounted the Bible. They've discounted Christianity. They've discounted going to church because there's been a separation. There's been a racial divide. There's been an economic divide. And we all know there's been a doctrinal divide when it comes to denominations. So there have been a lot of things that have caused a lot of people to shy away from the tradition of religion and Christianity. Most, I think foremost in that group are blacks, and foremost in that group are black males, being raised up in different kinds of denominations. The churches seem to be full of women. Women have an ability to, belong to something, participate in something, and be led by, some of these leaders who, some of them are doing the best that they can, and then some of them are involved in a business venture. A lot of men, they don't buy into that. They've shied away from the church. A lot of men, because of some of the things that have been taught historically that are inaccurate, that are racist, they've shied away from the church. And so for them to understand that they are the people of the Bible, and that the Most High had a plan for them, and that their ancestors, because of disobedience, has caused a wave of circumstances to operate where we are at the bottom, and you can get an understanding of why you're at the bottom, then you feel as though you're just being punished by your Father. And whenever you're punished by your Father, you know that you're loved, you know that he's doing what's best for you, that he's looking out for you in the long run. And if we get that understanding, then we'll stop believing, what's been massively sold to us, that we're, you know, three-fifths of a human, or that our children aren't as smart as other children, or that, you know, the opportunities are not available to us as they are to other people, or, you know, that we're just not able to prosper, we're not able to come together, we're not able to be the ones to lead, that we always have to follow. You know, it used to be you would look around at a restaurant and everybody that was working there was black, and if there was one white person, we always thought that they were in charge. Okay, it used to be a time that that was true. But thanks be to the Most High that that time is changing now. So that's why it's important that we understand who we are in the natural, even more important who we are in the spiritual, but who we are in the natural, so that we're able to get that yoke off of us, get that burden of oppression off of us, get that sense of inferiority off of us, so that we're able to step up, know who we are in the natural, know who we are in the spiritual, and stand up and represent.
Thank you, Arlene, for those words. But like I was saying, folks, it's vitally important we understand this. It's just vitally important, and I just cannot stress enough. I don't understand how people can. You know what was crazy, though? As long as we believe Israel was white and continued in the lie, folks saw the importance of knowing Israel. Everybody talking about Israel, Israel, Israel. And it's very interesting watching certain people in certain ministries as this light is flourishing. I told y'all this is the largest, I think it's the largest movement within the church arena there is. I just think it's not, people, they say it's not newsworthy, but it is newsworthy. It just don't benefit the people that right now in the natural anyway look like they're in control. That's all it is. But folks, you need to be very much, if you say you worship the Most High, if you say you worship in this Almighty Elohim, okay, Yahweh, as they call him, Yahweh, as they call him, all these various names, I'm not going to get into it because some people, I promise, they live for just getting the name right. But if you live for this being, you trust his word, and you want to be one in line with his word, and you want to be one that's in line with his purpose upon the earth, you've got to come to a grips, and I'm talking to everybody. This is not no show for no black people. Okay, let me get that straight right now. I reach out to, of course, my people, but I reach out to the planet because the Most High never, the scripture says he ain't going to do nothing in the earth without first showing his prophets, and I believe his prophets come in all shades. Again, all shades, all right? It's just that simple because there's a lot of white people out there who want truth, whatever it is. And everybody white does not care about preserving the white skin, white race, and all this. Some people just want to love and forget color and be colorblind, and whatever humanity pops out looking like, they don't care. There's a lot of white people that love the Most High. It is truly his. And there's a lot of so-called black people that is just the same. And there's also the opposite on both sides. So, folks, we need to open up our horizon. Quit looking for certain people to join your movement. Quit looking for family necessarily to join your movement. Quit looking for friends necessary to join the movement. You need to understand whoever doeth the will of your Heavenly Father, those are your mother, brother, sister, friends. Sometimes you got to walk alone because that's just your calling. But I'm just saying, folks, if we're going to want to be used of the Most High, he is about righteousness, righteousness, righteousness. Those days, even if I find myself tripping, I expect my friends to reject me and say, my brother, right now you are tripping. We got to go with whoever is walking and living this thing, folks. It's just that simple. Right now, the Most High is dealing. He's doing a lot of things within the earth. But I can tell you right now, he is definitely restoring the house of David on the house of Israel. Okay, so are you want to get with the program, or do you want to want to be involved in this end time movement to restore a remnant of Israel? Because all of Israel is not going to follow the truth. But there is a movement today to reveal who Israel is, and then a remnant is going to be true to the teaching and seek out the Most High and follow Him. That is the truth, and we're just trying to be a part of that small remnant that's going to be obedient. Okay? So let's do this. I want to play a video. I want to do something a little different today, because you hear from Brother Seth every single week. And I think it's good sometimes to hear from other people, just so people won't know that we are an island to ourselves. Sometimes it's good to just play, you know, other videos. This is why I do it so often. It's not that I don't run out of things to say. I always have things to say. I get that told to me all the time. So I want us to listen to someone talking about the state of Israel and what they're to go through, okay? So if I can just chew this up, we'll be in business. Well, Arlene, I do want to ask you a question. I think I forgot to ask you this last time we was on the subject. What is it about this revelation? What was it that caused you to see that we are definitely Israelites? I mean, because you and I are different. I saw it, some things that appealed to me didn't appeal to you. What was it that caused you to understand that, or caused you to believe that we're Israel?
Well, I think it was, you know, that feeling, just the feeling that I had, you know, just throughout my life at different times about sort of being on the bottom. I remember standing in the middle of congregation and saying, we're the head, not the tail, the first and not the last, and all this kind of stuff. But deep within my heart, you know, I went and lived in society, and based on just being, you know, an African-American woman, I was bumping up against institutional racism just at every turn. And it was oppressing me and making me feel, or trying to tempt me to feel, that I was less than, you know, and I was going through a lot of things that I can see other people going through. And so having had that experience in life, when I actually began to read in Deuteronomy and see the characteristics of Israel, the nation of Israel, as they were undergoing what they would experience because of the disobedience, and how that was supposed to occur forever, you know, which means even still till today. And I also had read later on in Deuteronomy when Moses had told them that you will disobey. You know, not that they were going to be the obedient ones living in the blessing, but he said basically, y'all going to disobey. So then that was the key scripture for me that let me know which set of characteristics to look for. And so I've read those scriptures over and over again, and I know my experience, and I know the experience of others, you know, and I've always felt all my life, you know, there's got to be more to it than this, you know. I can't believe we were put on this planet to have a history that starts in America in slavery. You know, that we have no legacy beyond that we can connect to, and that we are to be so devalued as a people. It's just so hard to grasp that. And so when I saw that and I read that and I got that understanding, it just made more sense. Again, like I said earlier, if you feel as though you've been punished for something that's been done. I didn't do it, but my forefathers did it. And I can get it, I understand it. I don't always like it. In fact, my first response was to feel anger and to feel just like it was unjust. Why am I going through all of this? I didn't do anything. My forefathers did. You know, but I can understand it. I can see the discipline. And more than that, I see the connection, you know, to actually be a part of an historic group of people that were able to worship the Most High. That just right there is amazing. And then to know that there's a present and a future purpose for knowing that we are a part of Israel. You know, we are to begin to serve him and to worship him and positioning ourselves to usher in the second coming of the Messiah. You know, so that's very important. And how it impacts us, how it impacts our children and future generations, to me, I'm encouraged because I know that the generations that come after us will have even more revelation and understanding of it. And I would also like to add this, that when Israel asked for a king and Samuel anointed David to be their king, their current king, Saul, he didn't respond the way that he should have because kings come and go. So this revelation that comes, those of you who are in reigning positions right now, those of you who are on top, you have served your time. You know, your time on top has been wonderful for you, and you've had plenty, you've prospered well. So if it's time for another, if there's a changing of the guard, don't act like Saul. Allow the Most High to do his work and put the people on top he wants on top, and you'll continue to be blessed.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Really appreciate that, Arlene. And happy Mother's Day, those of you that do celebrate it out there, by the way. Happy Mother's Day to those of you that do celebrate it. By the way, we don't mean to be, we don't get too spiritual. Where we don't just, sometimes people go overboard with, anyway, I don't want to talk about that. All right, so back to what I was saying. We got to queue up this video. Now, I want y'all to check this out. This is a Caucasian sister that is acknowledging that this whole truth about the Israelites are true. I just want y'all to hear other people, just a little short video. We may play a couple of them just to hear another angle, okay? Check this out. Again, this is just one of our sisters on the planet who's happened to see the light, and I want you to hear how she expresses herself about this.
Okay, so I am going to do another little video here, just kind of as an addendum to my other videos. I've been reading all the comments.
Hold on. The wrong one. Here we go.
Hey, everybody. This video is strictly pretty much going to be informational. It's all stuff I found in the Wikipedia, a little bit of the Strong's Concordance, stuff like that. I started this research a couple weeks ago. I was just curious as to how we got the translation of the Bible, I mean, how it got from Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic to the modern-day English that we speak. And as I started doing the research, it just kept getting kind of deeper and deeper. And so I wanted to share this information with everybody, and some of you may already know this and some may not. So I just wanted to get it out there. When I first started researching, I came across the Masoretic text. And out of the Wikipedia, it says the Masoretic text is a Hebrew text of the Jewish Bible. The Masoretic text is also widely used as the basis for translation of the Old Testament and in recent years also for the Bible. It says the Masoretic text was primarily copied, edited, and distributed by a group of Jews known as the Masoretes. So I looked up Masoretes, and it says they were a group of scribes and Bible scholars working between the 7th and 11th centuries. So basically, the Bibles that we have today are translated from this Masoretic text that was copied, edited, and distributed by the Jewish Masoretes. And so I thought, okay, that sentence just kind of stuck out to me, copied, edited, and distributed. Now, I think of it like this. Let's say you work for a newspaper. You write an article. Now, before they print it and distribute it, you have to take that article to the editor, and the editor is going to, you know, look over it and read it, say, change this, take this out, put this in, you know, something like that. And basically, that's what they did to the original scrolls. They edited them. So then I asked myself, okay, if these Jewish people can come in, take someone else's land, and set themselves up as God's chosen people, obviously they're going to have to hide something, change something, they're going to have to do something so that people don't find out the truth. I found under that Masoretic text, it says, The discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, dating from 150 BC to AD 75, show numerous small variations, both as against the later Masoretic texts and between each other. It is also evident from the notings of corrections and the variant alternatives that scribes felt free to choose according to their personal taste and discretion between different readings. So it shows that the original scrolls varied from this Masoretic text, and that the Jewish Masoretes, they used their own personal feelings, basically, on what to put in there. Now, it also says, under the category fixing of the text, since no additions were allowed to be made to the official text of the Bible, the early Masoretes adopted other expedients. Example, they marked the various divisions of spacing and gave indications of halakhic and haggadic, and I'm probably not saying those words right, teachings by full or defective spelling, abnormal forms of letters, dots, and other signs. Now, I don't know a lot about Hebrew, but I do know that the slightest little dot or dash or comma can change a word, and therefore it's going to change the meaning of that word. It also says that early rabbinic sources from around AD 200 mentioned several passages of scripture in which the conclusion is inevitable that the ancient reading must have differed from that of the present text. So there's proof that the original Sea Scrolls that they found differ from the Masoretic text. Now, here's where it really started getting interesting. At the end of that article, it says, among the rejected books by both the Judaic and Catholic canons was found the Book of Enoch, the Manual of Discipline, and the War of the Sons of Light against the Sons of Darkness. I instantly thought to myself, now, why would they reject these books unless there's something in there that they want to keep hidden? So, in the Wikipedia, under the Sons of Light against the Sons of Darkness, it says that it is a manual for military organization and strategy that was discovered among the Dead Sea Scrolls. These scrolls contain an apocalyptic prophecy of a war between the Sons of Light and the Sons of Darkness. In the end, all of darkness is to be destroyed, and light will live in peace for all eternity. The war is then described as a conflict between the congregation of God and the congregation of men. The rest of the document is a detailed description of the events of the war and the ways in which it should be conducted. So it's pretty obvious when you read that why they didn't want that in there. You know, they don't want the Sons of Light to know anything about this war or how it should be conducted. Now, I also looked up the Book of Enoch. And I'm just going to go through the content a little bit. There's 21 pages to it, so I don't want to read all of it. But there's 5 sections to this book. And as I go through this context, you're going to know, it's going to be pretty obvious why the Jews and the Catholics rejected this. The first section is the Book of Watchers.
Check this out.
It has a parable of Enoch on the future lot of the wicked and the righteous, the fall of the angels, the demoralization of mankind, the intercession of the angels on behalf of mankind, the dooms pronounced by God on the angels of the Messianic Kingdom. The first section depicts the interaction of the fallen angels with mankind. Sidios, and I'm probably not saying that right either, compels the other 199 fallen angels to take human wives in order to have children. Says the result is the creation of the Nephilim, or Anak, which means giant. It also discusses the teaching of humans by the fallen angels. So these angels were teaching them. It says they taught men to make swords, knives, shields, breastplates, and made known to them, the metals of the earth and the art of working them. costly stones and all coloring textures. And there arose much godlessness. They committed fornication, they were led astray, and became corrupt in all their ways. They taught enchantments and root cuttings, the resolving of enchantments, astrology, the constellations, the knowledge of the clouds, the signs of the earth, of the sun, and of the moon. So basically, these fallen angels that had came down here and had children with the women of the earth, they were teaching the men all about this kind of stuff because obviously they didn't know anything about it prior to that. Now the second section is entitled Book of Parables. It says the Book of Parables appears to be based on the Book of Watchers, but it presents a later development of the idea of final judgment, concerned not only with the destiny of the fallen angels, but also of the evil kings of the earth.
Hold on, folks. Hold on. If that is good, what she's doing, but she's taking forever to get to what I was wanting her to, but that is good where she was going. I just happened to realize that's the long version. So check this out.
I'm back for my second video today.
I'm trying to hear this. I apologize for that again. She was going to get to this, but it's going to take a little longer. This gets straight to the point for time's sake.
I am doing this video. I've been, like I said in my first video, I've been watching the Black Hebrew Israelites on YouTube, and I've been learning a lot. And so I just felt like everything that I've been learning, I feel like now it's my responsibility, now that I know the truth, to get it out there. So I'm hoping that by me doing this video, that maybe it will help to wake up some of the other Black Hebrew Israelites. I see them on the videos, I read their comments, and a lot of them are just like, the Bible's not talking about us, that can't be us. Like, they just, that's not us. And I want you to know that, yes, it is talking about you. So, first things first, let me give a little bit of background about myself. I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness up until I was about 18. Something just didn't feel right. I couldn't figure out exactly what it was, but something was off, and I thought maybe it was just me. I don't know if you're familiar with the Jehovah's Witnesses, but if you are not living the guidelines that they say you should be living, you're not accepted. And so I just felt like, well, I'm just a bad person. I can't live like that. And with my basically entire family, with the exception of a couple people, all being Jehovah's Witness, you know, I was taught this by my mother and my father, so I felt like I'm being lied to never even crossed my mind. I never thought that's what was going on. But now I realize, yeah, that is exactly what happened, and I'm also trying to get my family to realize the truth. The first thing I want to talk about is the appearance of the ancient Hebrew Israelites. I'm going to give you a few scriptures. It's not a lot, but to me, if you don't see it after reading these few scriptures, then you're probably never going to see it. The first thing, before you do this research, you need to push out of your mind everything that you've been taught, trained, religion that you've been taught, everything. Just push it all out and start with a clean slate. It took me about a year for my eyes to be opened because even though I wasn't a Jehovah's Witness anymore, I still felt like that was the truth, and I was still defending it. And it wasn't until I pushed that out of my mind that my eyes truly got opened. The first thing I want to talk about is in Exodus chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, when God was speaking to Moses, and he was going to use him to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, where they were enslaved, he was giving him some signs to let him know that, hey, I will be with you, you know, I will help you with this. So he had told Moses in this particular chapter and verses, he said, stick your hand into your bosom. And when he pulled it out, it says that it was white as snow. Now, if you were to take somebody of my skin color and stick my hand in my bosom, pull it out, and it's still white, that's not really going to be anything miraculous. But now if you were to take a person of black skin and put their hand in their bosom, pull it out, and it's white, that would be pretty miraculous. Another example is of Miriam. In Numbers chapter 12 and verse 10, it says God turned her into a leper and she was white as snow. So if he turned her white, then she obviously had to be black to begin with. In Amos 9 and verse 7, God is speaking to the children of Israel, and he says, are you not as the Ethiopians unto me? Now, some versions are going to say Cushite, which if you don't look that up, it's not really going to mean much to you. But if you look up the word Cushite, it's going to say Ethiopian. Now, we all know Ethiopians are very, very dark-skinned people. And God was comparing his people, the children of Israel, to them. A couple of other scriptures are Lamentations 5 and verse 10 and Job 30:30. Those also refer to the skin color of the Israelites as being black. Now, I have to tell you this. If you have a new King James Version, it's going to take the word black out. You need to go into an older King James Version, and it will have the proper words in there. Now, you have to ask yourself, first of all, why do we need a new version of the Bible? What was wrong with the old one? And second of all, why would they take the word black out? What are they trying to hide? Now, in Revelation chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, is a description of Christ. And it brings out that he had hair white like wool. Now, I want to show you a picture. I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody knows what wool looks like, but I just wanted you to get a good visual. Okay? Now, there's wool. Now, I'm going to show you another picture, and we all know who this is. But when you look at his hair...
She's showing a picture... She showed a picture of a lamb's hair. Now she's showing a picture of Denzel.
Like the sheep's wool. Now, I know it says that it was white, so I want to show you a picture of an older Hebrew Israelite. And when you look at his hair, that's exactly what it is, white like wool. Now, if you look at the gentleman next...
And just a little side, I don't mean to keep stopping here, but remember in the book of Daniel, it didn't mention white. He just said his hair was like wool.
Next to him, who is a so-called white person, he does not have woolly hair. And white people in general don't. I mean, you look at my hair, it's not woolly. It's thin and fine and straight, which is pretty much the norm for the so-called white people. Now, also, in Daniel 7, chapter 7, verse 9, it talks about the Ancient of Days, which is God himself. And if there's a description of him there, and it says he had hair white like wool. So when you read these scriptures, it really shows beyond a shadow of a doubt that God, Christ, and the ancient Hebrews were all black people with hair white like, or with hair like wool. Excuse me. Now, another thing I want to touch on is in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, the first 14 verses are talking about God is telling the Israelites, okay, if you keep my commands, this is what I'll do for you. The remaining verses... I
didn't mean to stop her, but I got to correct her on something. She said in Daniel 7 9, that she said it said his hair was like white like wool, but this is what it says. And I beheld till the thrones was cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. She's doing a great job, though. Check this out. This is just one person's account of this truth.
He's telling them, if you don't keep my commands, then this is what will happen. I want to read chapter 28 and verse 68. It says, and the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Now, if you were to get a globe, and you were to look at where the Hebrew Israelites were at, they would not need a ship to get to Egypt. So God was obviously talking about something else. He wasn't talking about the physical land of Egypt. If you look in Exodus 13:3 and Deuteronomy 20 and verse 2, it refers to Egypt as a house of bondage. Now, I want to show you something, and I know everybody has seen this. I've saw it a million times, but never paid any attention and never really thought twice about it. But on the back of the dollar bill, there's a pyramid. Now, pyramids are notorious with Egypt. I mean, you say pyramid, that's automatically what you think of is Egypt. So why would the United States of America put a pyramid on the back of their dollar bill? Now, with the word Egypt meaning house of bondage, God was obviously telling the Israelites, hey, I'm going to put you back into slavery. Now, the only race of people that were brought over off ships and sold as bondmen and bondwomen, which are slaves, are the so-called African Americans. That's the term that the white man has given them. Now, like I said before, if after you do this research, which I don't expect you to take anything that I'm telling you, look it up for yourself, do the research. That's what I did. Anytime I was shown a scripture, shown something in a book, I'd look it up myself. And do the same thing. And if at the end of that you still can't see it, then I really don't know what else to say. But I want the black Hebrew Israelites, I'm trying to help to get them woke up and to see the rich heritage that they really have. And what a blessing to be one of God's chosen people. I mean, honestly, I'd give my left foot to be one of God's chosen people. So I'm just trying to help and get this out there, and I'm hoping that if one person listens to what I have to say and they see the truth, then great, I'm ecstatic. So I'm hoping that this helps, and I hope everybody enjoyed my video. Thank you.
There you have it. And that was just one lady's account that happened to not be so-called black. I don't want people to think this is some black movement, that this is some black bunch of black people that's angry, that, you know, is just trying to spew out hatred. Here is a young lady, seemed very nice, not because she agreeing with me, but she just seemed to be very in the middle of the road, happened to run up on this truth, and happened to embrace it. Just that simple. So I just wanted to play that because, again, we got different people listening and different people taking I can only imagine what some of y'all think. I can't read minds, but I know that there's a lot of people that think this is a black thing. Some of you black people struggle with this more so than our white brothers and sisters. You're just so full of self-hate. And some of you is not going to budge until white people put their stamp of approval on it anyway. So, that's just the way you are. Like I say, go to my library. And if you're one of those that find yourself in life not being able to endorse nothing black people say because of whatever reason, go to the library. There's a lot of nice, professional, authoritative figures that happens to be white saying the exact same thing. Go again to blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. Only one to comment.
Yeah, and I like to use analogies, and I would just like to put this in the perspective using an analogy. If everyone listening today has a problem with why somebody would want to talk about this type of a situation, let me put this to you. If there was some sort of genetic proof that you are one of the descendants of a Rockefeller, of a Carnegie, of a Gates even, if you found out that you were a bloodline relative and you were assured of that, how many of you would not want to upset the apple cart and offend those other heirs who have been a part of that family and enjoying the fruits of that family throughout all these years, how many of you would say, well, you know what, this is too controversial. I'm not going to butt in on their family. I wasn't a part of them growing up. They don't know who I am. So even though I really truly am a bloodline Carnegie or a bloodline Rockefeller, I don't want to upset those people. So I'm not even going to step into my heritage, and I don't want that inheritance. How many of you would actually do that?
Not many.
It's something to think about. But for those of you who found out that you were and that you have a purpose in your life and you have a calling in your life, and even if you don't, just to know that you're a part of a family that for whatever reason, you know, used the wherewithal they had to make millions of dollars or whatever it was that they did to amass their fortunes. Those of you who said, I have a right, I am a rightful heir. For some reason I was neglected, I don't know if you were given away in adoption or whatever. How many of you would have the wherewithal to stand up and say, I am a true heir, and therefore I have a right to an inheritance? And you would stand before those people and their attorneys and take your attorney and fight for what was truly yours.
Well put, well put. So I'm always glad you join me sometime, Arlene. You always come at a different angle than I'm thinking. I want to also take this time to share some of the books. And the reason why is, folks, we've been digging the scriptures. We're going to dig. We're definitely going to get into the scriptures. But I just want to take this time to look, to acknowledge some of the books that I've been talking about and alluding to for a while now, weeks and weeks and weeks. So I just thought I'd quickly just go over the names of the books that I have in my library. If you will, again, go to blogtalkradio.com, then after the slash, type in 5_smooth_stones, that's 5 smooth stones, then look at the picture, the picture of the program picture, click underneath that where it says Google Books, and this is what we will find, okay? Authors such as, we have Michael Hoffman. He has a book called Judaism Discovered from Its Own Text. Okay. We have The Invention of the Jewish People. We have, that's by a gentleman by the name of Shlomo Sand. And that's The Invention of the Jewish People. And actually, that first book I don't recommend. I don't know how they got in my library. I think I use that as a rebuttal book. So just the first book I'm recommending, The Invention of the Jewish People. Okay, there's a book called God, the Black Man and Truth by Ben-Ami. These are the people in Dimona, their spiritual leader. Black Judaism, A Story of the American Movement. That's a very good book on the subject by James Landing. James Landing, From Babylon to Timbuktu, The Infamous Babylon Timbuktu by Rudolf Windsor. Very good author. He also has a book called Valley of the Dry Bones, which is very close to the message I preach. I mean, the message I teach and preach. Rudolf Windsor is the closest, I would say, author to the things I talk about all the time. Rudolf Windsor. Okay, and then we have The Jews and Their Lies by Martin Luther, okay, The Jews and Their Lies. We have Facts Are Facts by Benjamin Friedman, okay, and here's a good one, The Jews of Khazaria. Well, if y'all are the true Jews, then who are those people in Israel? The Jews are Khazaria. This goes into who exactly those people are, how they converted to Judaism hundreds of years ago following their Khazar leader. The Khazarians followed their Khazar leader and converted to Judaism a good while back, okay? That book is by the author. It's called Kevin Allen Brook. All right? And then we have The Lost Tribes, A Myth. It's a suggestion towards rewriting history. Now, that's Alan Goodbay. That's talking about the people in Israel being the myth, okay? Not the the white myth, okay? I mean, that's talking about the white Jews being a myth, not the black Jews being a myth. Okay, here's another one. Hindu tribes and the caste are represented in the Banars, and that's by, I'll repeat that, Hindu tribes, that's Hebrew tribes they're talking about, and the caste system, as represented in the Banars. This is volume 3 by Matthew Atmore Schering. Matthew Atmore Schering. Okay? Strangers in the Land. Black Jews, Post-Holocaust America. This is by Eric Sundquist. Eric Sundquist. I'll spell that last name, S-U-N-D-Q-U-I-S-T. There are so many books on this. These are the books I've chosen, but there's lots of books I've ran into that saying the same thing, but I didn't get them, maybe because everything they were sharing I already knew. These are books that stuck out more to me, okay? But there are a lot more books, authors of all different ethnic backgrounds that have been proclaiming this for years, some people over 100 years. Black Hebrew Israelites from America to the Promised Land by Shalik Ben Yehuda. This is a good one. This is one of the profound leaders of the actually he's in the Church of God in Christ. So I think my brother in the chat room, if he's still there, Brother Newton, would appreciate that. Shalik Ben Yehuda is one of the main teachers of the people that's in Dimona right now. Shalik Ben Yehuda. He was high-ranking official in the Church of God in Christ. He left the Church of God in Christ, and he's the one that would say that the founder of the Church of God in Christ actually believed that we so-called black people or African Americans were indeed a lost tribe of Israel. This is Charles H. Mason, the founder of the Church of God in Christ, way back in early 1900s. So this is a powerful brother right here, okay? African presence in early Asia. This is by Ivan Van Sertima, who teaches in our finest universities. I don't know if Ivan Van Sertima is still around, but he did teach in our, not real sure about that, but I know that, anyway, his book is out there, African presence in early Asia. Very powerful person. Also, if we got others, and that is so many here. We have Enoch, the Ethiopian, the lost prophet of the Bible. This is talking about the book of Enoch. Like the young lady had just mentioned, was taken out of the Bible. We have to ask why. You know, the Bible talks about lots of books that's not even in the Bible. In other words, you'll be reading along in the Bible, minding your own business, and you'll run across the scriptures that says, and many other things did King David, that's written in the book of Jasher, or that's written in the book of the Annals of the King, or that's written in the book of this, or that's written in the book of that, and you'll say, well, where is that book? So we definitely should pay attention to the Apocrypha, these lost books that didn't make the Bible. The International Jew by a very famous person, Henry Ford. Henry Ford was not a fan of the so-called Jewish people in Israel. And he wrote a book talking about that the black people of America was indeed one of the, I mean Henry Ford, I'm sorry. What did I say?
You said Henry Ford, but you don't mean Henry Ford instead of cars. Somebody else.
I don't know. I think this is that Henry Ford. Somebody was telling me about that. This is that Henry Ford. Yeah, the car maker. Okay, African origin of modern Judaism. African origin of modern Judaism. From Hebrews to Jews. That's by Jose, spelled with J-O-S-E-D, and I'll spell the last name, M-A-L-C-I-O-L-N. M-A-L-C-I-O-L-N. And this is another book. I'm telling you, there's so many authors, so many people of different persuasions, different ethnic backgrounds, I mean, different nations. This is an international movement, folks. Again,
I have never seen nothing this large. I saw the rebirth of the charismatic church. I saw Azusa and the whole Pentecostal birth explosion over on Azusa Street in Los Angeles. I even saw movements within the Catholic arena. The Word of Faith movement is the charismatic movement. So I've seen a lot of movement, but I've never seen something that was so global as this awakening up of so-called African Americans being a true tribe of Israel and other scattered people throughout the planet, which I talked about, being also one of those 12 tribes, and this notion that the people in Israel today, the so-called Jews, are not the true bloodline. Again, these are books that breaks that down from a scholarly standpoint. Black Zion is another book. African American Religious Encounters with Judaism. This is a very good take on it by Yvonne Patricia, and I'll spell the last name, C-H-I-R-E-A-U. E-A-U. Just a few more I'm going to talk about. Hebrewism of West Africa. This is talking about how Africa has a strong presence of Hebrewism. Our Jewish Jewry are the cultures of the Israelites by Joseph J. Williams. Joseph J. Williams, again, Hebrewism of West Africa. Here's another one, The Black Jews of Africa, History, Religion, and Identity. History, Religion, and Identity. This is by Edith Bruder. Bruder, Edith Bruder, The Black Jews of Africa. Edith Bruder. Okay, and then we got The 13th Tribe. Oh, my goodness, how much? This is probably the most popular book on this. Well, Babylon and Timbuktu is the most popular one. But this probably would be coming a close second as far as lots of people haven't heard of it. It's all over the YouTube, the Internet, really. And that is The 13th Tribe, The Khazar Empire and Its Heritage by Arthur Koestler, K-O-E-S-T-L-E-R. If you don't get any other book, listener, you need to get that book, and that will put to rest all this talk on the net about who these people are in Israel. And once you finish that book, if you don't get nothing else out of what Brother Seth is saying, you will for sure doubt 100% that those people in Israel are truly bloodline biological Jews. The Truth About the Black Biblical Israelite by Ella Hughley. The Truth About the Black Biblical Israelite, the Black Biblical Hebrew Israelite, excuse me, repeat. The Truth About the Black Biblical Hebrew Israelite by Ella Hughley. This is an old book, been around. Ella Hughley. Okay, and then last on my library for proving this particular point or sharing light on this particular subject is Dr. Ben Yosef Ben Yochanan, but he spelled it with a J. So his name is Yosef, Y-O-S-E-F, Ben Yochanan, J-O-C-H-A-N-N-A-N. Dr. Ben is probably, many would agree that probably is one of our brightest minds of today. Probably one of our brightest minds in the last 50 years. Him and Shanka Diop is up there with our top minds of today. Okay? And the name of his book is We the Black Jews Do Testify of the White Jewish Myth. We the Black Jews Do Testify of the White Jewish Myth. But the big word said We the Black Jews, but in small print it'll say Do Testify of the White Jewish Myth. But I would guess you would call the book We the Black Jews, okay? So any of those books, folks, you can purchase. Some of y'all like PhDs behind your teachers. There you have it. Some of y'all like master's degrees behind your teachers. There you have it. You don't have to listen to Brother Seth. Some people are a little bit sharper. They went to school a little bit longer. They've traveled to more countries. Some of those people are archaeologists. Dr. Ben teach many have taught many subjects in some of our finest universities. Okay, so let's just go ahead.
What's your foundation?
Now, I want to share that because while my foundation is the Bible, and I've said that a thousand times, we've proven that with turning to many scriptures over the last more than 5 weeks, I just want to share that there are people that use this same Bible. They have wrote a book. Many of them are scholars, PhDs, master's degrees, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? So anyway, what did y'all think of that list of those of you in the chat room there? What did you think of Dr. Ben hold on, I got a message by Brother Newton, and he said, www2plus.com, Brother Seth, go watch all the free movies you want. Okay, all right. That's kind of off the subject. I guess he's talking about movies relevant to this whole conversation. But anyway, will you get that, write that down, please? This is right here. So anyway, folks, let's go into the scriptures. And I know I did something a little different today, but I'm trying to mix it up. So some of y'all listen every week, and I know you get tired of hearing the same old scriptures, which they're very, thank you very much, Mr. Newton there. She actually see that message. Let's turn the Bible to Deuteronomy 28. Now, we had said that we was going to talk about the preachers today, the preachers that is to be over Israel. But before we do that, we got to lay the foundation in Deuteronomy 28. And I know we're not going to get into a lot of scriptures, and today was not designed for that. Today was designed for showing you outside professional opinions that prove this same point. Of course, I played the young lady earlier, who's not necessarily a professional, but she was a white lady. I thought that was very intelligent, and I wanted just to play that a little bit. But definitely check out those books, okay? Deuteronomy 28. Arlene, you want to go ahead and grab Deuteronomy 28 and read the verse 46, please. This is Moses talking about the blessings or the curses. When he used the word they, T-H-E-Y, he's talking about the blessings or the curses. And he's saying it's going to be upon Israel forever. Go ahead and read, Arlene.
And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever.
Moses is up on a mountain talking to the Hebrew Israelites, or the Israelites, and he's letting them know what is going to happen to them as a nation forever. If they obey, he talks about blessings that's going to be upon them, and if they disobey, he talks about curses that's going to be upon them. No nation on the planet today is living out the blessings. So we're not going to even read them for time's sake. We're not going to even read them because no nation is that blessed. No nation, no group of people, no tribe can say we live out the blessings of Deuteronomy 28:1-14. Nobody. But now when we read the curses, you're going to know all kind of folks that live out these. So that's why we focus on the curses. Not that we just want to be negative or gloomy or this is what, like Arlene said earlier, Moses said when he leaves that Israel would go astray. But more than that, just look at the state of Israel and what we're about to read, and you'll see who are the true Israelites. Now, let's go ahead and look at verse 68. Remember, Moses said these blessings or curses is going to be upon Israel forever. If you want to know, Arlene, who a true Jew is, what should you do?
See who's living out these curses or blessings.
Exactly, because he said, again, they're going to be upon you forever. Read Deuteronomy 28:46 again.
And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever.
One more time.
And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever.
What does a sign stand for? It says S-I-G-N. It says these blessings or curses is going to be upon Israel forever for a sign, an S-I-G-N. And S-I-G-N identifies something, and a wonder, of course, is what it means. It makes you wonder. Most I always get glory from us being amazed. So let's look at some of the things that's supposed to be upon Israel forever quickly. Verse 68, please. Let's look at some of the verses that's supposed to be upon Israel forever.
And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you.
One more time, please.
And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies, for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you.
Do we ever live that out? Do you know anybody? Do you know a nation, Arlene, that actually lived that scripture?
Yes, the so-called African Americans who came over in the Atlantic slave trade.
Okay, that's it. Now, the people in Israel, were they ever put in ships?
Nope, they were never put in ships. They did go through a situation with, you know, the Nazis, the Germans that were led by Hitler, where he punished them by burning them in ovens and holding them in concentration camps, which is an atrocity, but they were never put in ships.
Okay, read verse 64 and 65, please.
Okay.
And folks, again, I want y'all to please, please, if you don't do nothing else for Brother Ted, please do this and listen to the archive. If you are still walking around today and you do not embrace this message, but the Most High has been kind of dealing with you about it, it's been on your mind, you know something is to it, you don't know quite what you want to do with it, but you know that you have to do something with it, please listen to the previous archives, because I'm just a vessel. I don't know everything, but sometimes I'll say something in one of those previous archives that can jar something in your mind to do or to see, to help you see something clear. Go ahead, 64, 65, please.
And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind.
Read on down to 67.
And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have no assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning.
Just hoping for the future, looking for time to pass. That's all that's saying. You're wishing for time to pass. Can't wait till tomorrow comes because you're not happy with today. That's all it's saying. Read that again, that verse.
In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see.
Verse 30, please. We're jumping around because I just want to hit certain scriptures. Y'all have to forgive me. I guess if I could give you homework, if I have that, if I can even do that, if you'll be so kind to do that, you should read all of Deuteronomy 28 because there's a lot of things we're not hitting. Again, I'm trying to hit certain scriptures and move on. What I'm actually doing is hitting the scriptures that are, to me, the clearest to see. I can see a lot of it. I can see the truth in other scriptures, but I needed to see these scriptures first that was even clearer. And then once I saw these scriptures, I can understand the other scriptures. Go ahead.
Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof.
Can you explain that? Read that part again, the first part of that.
Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her.
Explain that.
Well, I know that because of slavery here in America, many people have heard of stories of masters, taking their slaves, the women in slavery, and laying with them and making babies and, you know, how we've gotten all these kinds of things. But those men that were slaves, there was nothing they could do about it. Their wives were sometimes used by the people that owned them, you know, as sexual toys, basically. And there was nothing that man could do short of, you know, dying, you know, because anything that he would do to raise his hand up against that master, he would either be beaten or bludgeoned or possibly hanged and killed.
Okay. Check this out, everybody. I want y'all to read. Everybody go to verse 41, please.
Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity.
One more time.
Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity.
What do you think of that? Does that relate to us today, Arlene?
That relates in slavery times. Obviously, they saw their children sold and sent off to, you know, different families, different parts of the country. That happens today. A modern-day version of it is, you know, for them not to be a part of the culture and the history and the heritage of Israel, knowing who they are, which keeps us unified as a family and as a nation, but they're being led into captivity, participating in the things of this world, you know, feeling that they have to, you know, be the entertainers of this world or, you know, participate in the culture of this world and be a part of that. That is a type of captivity as well.
Now, we're going to do something a little different, okay? There's a lot of more scripture we can talk about, but I'm going to do something a little different because, again, a lot of these scriptures we talk about every single week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want y'all to check this out. Flip over to, well, hold on, Arlene, let's do this quick. Verse 49 and 50, and then we'll, 49 and 50, we'll switch over to another.
The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil.
Who went through this? Who have, folks in your mind, think of different nations or groups of people who have lived this out. Have the people in Israel went through any of this? But Moses said in verse 46, these are the things that you're going to go through. But I've got something for y'all. We always read Deuteronomy 28, but we're going to do something a little different. Flip over to verse 29, chapter 29, the next chapter, and look at verse number 14, Arlene, and 15.
Neither with you only do I make this covenant. And
Moses
this
is talking, he's saying, I don't just make this covenant with y'all, Israel. This is not for just you 12 tribes I'm talking to right now. Read again.
Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day.
Say that again.
But with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day.
Good night. So there you have it. That is saying that Moses is talking to these 12 tribes, but he said, I'm not just talking to y'all, but I'm talking to him that's not even here today. And again, in verse 46, he says, it's going to be up on you forever. 2011 is not the end of forever. Okay, let's jump over to verse 24, please. 29 and 24.
Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger?
One more time.
Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger?
Okay, keep reading.
Then men shall say,
Listen, folks.
Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. So they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book.
Now check this out. Most people don't even know we Israel, so how that verse going to come to pass that people are going to be saying, this is why they're suffering. They disobeyed the Most High. What I'm trying to say to you, folks, there are people that do know this. The powerful people that run our planet, this is what they say. That's why when they start to boast and say, we did it, and they know the truth, they're going to know that, and they're going to say, we did this. We got these Israelites. We controlling these Israelites. We're punishing them. This is not for every white person that you see walking around. They don't know jack. They just like we are.
But I'm talking about the powers that be that run history, that run these museums, that run the archaeology. The fact that something is found, they quickly expedited to Europe, to Britain, and they all these secrets. Folks, listen to me. These people would say this. Say it again, Arlene. Please.
Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. The anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book.
Keep reading.
And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, and cast them into another land as it is this day.
One more verse.
The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law.
One more time. Check this out, y'all.
The secret things belong to the Lord our God. That verse?
Mm-hmm.
The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law.
My goodness. So this is just validating the fact that even though this book is ancient and it's old, I mean, it's thousands of years old, Moses, by what he just said, validates 2011 as a time when we can apply these same prophecies. By saying, I'm not talking to just you, but to also them that are not here. In verse 46 to Deuteronomy 28 says, these things are going to be upon you forever, either these blessings or these curses. So those of you that are saying, you know what, I don't like this because you just talking about cursing, cursing, cursing. You don't have to be cursed individually, your home, your house, your family, if you fear the Most High and worship him in spirit and truth and follow his laws. Your home can be blessed. I never advocate everything is just curse, curse, curse. You can see the power of the Most High in your life if you submit to him. That's for anybody. But now your nation is what we're talking about. Your nation. The nation you're part of is what we're talking about. It's like Christ, the only time he ever wept. He knew he was gonna raise Lazarus from the dead. But he looked around at all these people crying for Lazarus, how fearful they was, and unfaithful, not believing. And he mourned for the pain of his nation. You, my friend, if you care anything about your people, you're going to mourn for your nation. But you don't have to, and your family don't have to go through these pains if you, as the scripture says, as men, my house, we shall seek the Lord, or we shall seek Yahweh, or we shall seek Yahweh, or we shall seek the Almighty. Go ahead, Ali.
Okay, and I just wanted to say, because when he was talking about looking out and mourning for your nation, I know a lot of black people, Christians, believers, Bible readers and prayers are saying, I ain't part of no nation. I'm a part of the kingdom of the Most High. Well, let me tell you this. Why do you reject being a part of a nation? Because in America, all we have is slavery as far as our heritage. So who wants to be a part of that nation? Why do you reject that? You stand right next to other people on Sunday morning and raise your hands and worship the Most High, and they know they're Irish and they're proud of it. Or they know they're German and they're proud of it. Or they know they're Italian, and they're proud of it. But they are a part of the kingdom of the Most High. So why is it that you shun your nation? Why is it you have a negative connotation of being a part of a nation that has to do with African heritage? You need to examine why you feel that way.
Very good point. Very good point. Check this out again, Arlene. I appreciate you coming in. She always comes from a different angle. But another reason to acknowledge yourself as a nation within a nation is because the Most High said
Israel, wherever they go, they are a nation. He never acknowledged the fact that just because they go into all these other nations that they are part of the nation. He tells them to be good citizens and so forth. That's in the scriptures. But he never looked at, he said this eyes was going to be upon them. Amos 3 and 2 says, of all the nations of the earth you have unknown. Therefore I will punish you for your transgressions. No matter where Israel goes, they're to get that punishment as a nation if they're disobedient, of course. If they're obedient, they get the blessings. The blessings, the blessings. And the reason we're not focusing on the blessings is because obviously Israel is not walking in the blessings. We're not just trying to make this one-sided. It's just that's where we're at right now. So the most important thing that what Arlene was saying was in acknowledging the fact that your nation is the Most High acknowledged Israel, even though they're in other nations, he still acknowledged them as a nation. That's why you should acknowledge yourself as a nation within a nation, because he acknowledged you as a nation within a nation. All right, let's look at Deuteronomy 28, and then we're going to get into the priests, because I said that in the description, and we're going to talk about the, how the so-called preachers is going to be over Israel. So let's look at verse number about the young men. Verse 54. And this is talking about the good men of Israel, not the knucklehead men. The nation, the men within our nation, the so-called African-Americans, which we believe were Israelites, this Bible is about to address the good men, how they're going to act. Go ahead.
So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave.
He shall what?
Leave.
Read that again.
So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother, and toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave.
Now, you're talking about, remember, when he said the man, you think of one man. But Moses is, or Moshe is up on a mountain, speaking to the people of Yahweh. And he is saying, folks, this is what's going to happen to you. So when he say man, he's talking about thousands. Even now it would be millions of men. Millions of men is going to act like this. Not no few, not talking no one person, okay? Read it again, please.
So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave.
And another thing I want to say is, don't think of just you and your family and say, well, we ain't going through this. That's what I did when I first read Deuteronomy 28. I mean, long time ago before I realized we were Israel. Folks were trying to tell me we was Israel and I wasn't buying it. And the thing I kept thinking about it was, that's not us. I don't go through that. My father's family don't go through. My grandmother, my grandfather, and my great-great. I've never heard of this being in our family. Like, for instance, when it talks about your mule shall be taken away, your ox, you know, your ass. I'm like, wait a minute, we never had no donkey asses or, you know, farms. Or some, you know, I know some of us in my family have had farms, but what I'm trying to say is, this is not just talking about you and your grandmother, grandfather. This is talking about a whole people, and it's talking about people for hundreds of years. So when you think of, when you're looking throughout the planet, like I've done, been to these, you know, I haven't been all over the whole planet, but I've been to a few places, been to 24 nations, country, with nations, and I've looked for these characteristics in people. But you got to look at it for a long period of time, not just for those 20 years, 30 years. The Most High, talking to Abraham, talks about how he said, you know, I like basically said, I'm going to make you great. He talks about how he was going to make him a father of many nations and talk about how his nation was going to go into bondage. And he goes on to say that they've been in bondage for 400 years. And remember, Israel is always to repeat things. So I like to say, look at a people or a group of people or a nation of people for 400 years at a time. Who has went through these things for 400 years? Not just what you've been through for the last 20 or 30 years, okay? So if you look at us for 20, 30 years, we did have oxen. They was taken away by solemnly. As one scripture says in Deuteronomy 28, we didn't even read. So your ox shall be taken away. That's your business maker. What makes money for you will be taken away. Some of you is going, oh, because when you see these words, ox and asses, it's very hard to, okay, to put us in that situation. All right, let's switch gears, folks. Read Deuteronomy 28. One of my favorite scriptures I can't go without reading this is Isaiah 51 and 20. I want to get that real quick. Folks, listen to this. Check this out. Check this out, everybody. This is talking about the young men standing on street corners. I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again this week. There is nothing that so-called black people do as far as their culture, as far as we as a people, as a culture. If all of us is doing something, like, you know, they tell all these jokes about black people do this, black people do that. Well, if we all do it, or this is the norm for black people as a whole, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. So somebody might say, well, what about these young boys down the corner? That's something we do as a culture. That's in New York. That's in L.A. That's in Chicago. That's in Texas. Address that. That is something that we do for sure as a culture. Where is that in the Bible? I just showed you how men would lead not father their children. And the verse after that talks about the women, how they would not be good mothers. We didn't read that. Again, we're not reading everything. So I'll link 51, Isaiah 51 and 20, please.
Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in a net. They are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God.
What in the world is the head of a street? Read that again slowly.
Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in a net. They are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God.
This scripture is saying that the young men have fainted. So if they fainted, it seemed like they would just be laying out somewhere lifeless. But then it says they're like a bull. That's one of the strongest animals, not the strongest animal, on the planet. So how can you be fainted, Arlene, and be a bull? And then it says there's some net that's stopping them or blocking them. Read it one more time, please.
Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in a net. They are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God.
It says they are full of the fury, anger. You have an entire music genre called rap music that these same young men have produced that is known for mainly one thing, being angry. Especially in this, you know, I mean, if you are an angry rapper, an Ice-T kind of rapper, you are more successful than you are if you just, you know. I'm saying anger. Our young men is full of anger. That's what I'm really trying to say. Our young men, Arlene, is full of anger, but this anger is judgment from the Most High. Read that one more time. I know I keep saying one more time, but this is something. One more time, please.
Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in a net. They are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God.
My. I know y'all are going to be talking about that scripture for some time. Time is running out. I do this every week. I always run out of time, but that's okay. We're going to still talk. We're going to go to this cut us off. Sometimes it cuts us off at 3:30, but it's been giving me 15 minutes, an extra 15 minutes. But we'll just see how this plays out, okay? Let's go ahead and try to cover these scriptures. All right, folks, listen to this. These are the people that's supposed to rule over Israel. These are the people, the religious institution, I'm not going to call no names out, but y'all know these powerful ministers that call themselves black people's teachers or black people preachers, okay? These folks that run and rule us as a people. And don't just think of the big names, the Jakes and the Creflo Dollars and all them. I'm talking about Joe Pastor, some of y'all. Listen to how they're going to act. I try to prove with Israel, using the scriptures that the Holy Spirit lead me, when I'm submissive to it, I try to prove or show this light by various ways. I just showed you the way of looking at us as a people, what we go through, how we act, what we behave like. There's another way I prove this, by showing how the preachers act, because it says, and your ministers are going to act this way, and your priest is going to act this way. And remember, Israel is to repeat. Israel is to repeat. They are to continue to repeat. If they're disobedient, it's going to be the curse. If they're obedient, it'll be those blessings. If they're obedient, it'll be those blessings. But they're going to repeat. They're going to repeat. They're going to repeat. Okay, so watch this. We're going to talk about now the priests until time run out. The priests, how they're supposed to act. This is going to blow y'all away to hear these scriptures. And then look at our preachers today, and then look at these scriptures, and then look at our preachers today. Again, you can prove who is Israel by looking at what the prophecy says they're going to act like, also how their priest is going to act like, also how their sons and daughters are going to act, also how the oppressors, we covered that last week, how they are going to act. And again, we ask you this question on the side. Does anybody in Israel live out any of this? Does anybody in Israel, calling themselves a Jew, in much respect and love for them as humans, our brothers and sisters, do they live out any of this? Talk to me, y'all, in the chat room. Mr. Newton, executor, runaway slave. Does Israel live out any of this? Now, somebody said Maccabees, which is one, is an apocrypha. Somebody, this is an executor 2012 in the chair room, says, I haven't researched this, but this is amazing. Check this out. He says in 1 Maccabees 14:9, it says, the ancient men sat all in the streets, communing together of good things, and the young men put on the glorious warlike apparel. Now, that's a little different, but it's still... That just kind of shows that there were people in the streets.
Which we are.
Okay? So, folks, ask yourself while we read these scriptures, who live out this? Okay, here we go. Let's talk about these ministers. Everybody, please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah. Now, let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah got a lot more. Jeremiah 6:14. 6:14.
They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace.
Folks, please listen to this verse. This is amazing. Try it again, Arlene, slowly.
They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, there is when there is no peace.
Now, Isaiah the prophet, a major prophet, is talking about the state of Israel. We didn't read the whole thing, folks, because what I do with my Bible study is I introduce you to scriptures and I ask you as homework to go behind me and read the scenario, read the setting, read what's going on. And that is what I'm asking you to do with these scriptures we're reading today. What I like to do is introduce people to various parts of the Bible that say the same thing I'm saying, then you go back later and read it. Sometimes we will read the whole story, but not often, okay? But this is Isaiah talking about the preachers and how they are going to behave, and I want you to go ahead and read that one more time and then keep reading.
They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord.
Okay, now that's just one scripture. Let's look at some more scriptures. Again, whatever the prophets and the priests did with Israel back in the day,
That everything repeats itself. Even when we study secret societies on Thursday night's late night show at midnight, one of the things I try to stress is you can understand the kings of darkness, the Illuminati, and the secret societies by understanding this pattern of wickedness. Everything repeats. Everything repeats. And once you're studying something and you start seeing it again happening in history, then you know you're on the truth. I'm going to say it again because I don't think y'all got that. When you study secret societies, or even when you study the kingdom of the Most High, that is something that the Most High set into orbit, or into existence. Everything repeat after itself. Everything. Man basically does the same thing. As the scripture says, there is nothing new under the sun. Why does it say that? Because everything repeats. So when you're studying the secret side, that's a lot of older people. They only watch the news and they can tell you what's going on. You're like, how do you know what's going on? They only watch the news. And some of them not even religious people. But they live long enough to see the cycle. So when you're studying things that you know, well, I know that what the Democrats are going to do. I know what the Republicans are going to do. They're going to try to, you know, we're going to have a bear market, or we're going to have, you can know what the Federal Reserve is going to do based upon what the Federal Reserve did, you know, or what evil people did back in the day. It's the same exact thing. Like the Egyptians said, let us deal wisely with these Israelites. They're becoming too many, and they start working them. It's the same concept, same thing, okay? But let's go ahead and look at another scripture. How about Jeremiah 12? Jeremiah 12 and 10.
Okay, 12 and 10. Sorry. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness.
Keep reading.
They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. The spoilers are come upon all high places through the wilderness, for the sword of the Lord shall devour from the one end of the land even to the other of the land. No flesh shall have peace.
Again, Israel priests is in this cycle. Everything repeats after itself. When we're walking in the churches, we're going to repeat these curses. So our preachers are going to be repeating the foolishness that they're doing. Again, look for the cycle. It's going to repeat itself. Moses said forever. All right, let's go over to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23.
What verse? 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord.
They make you vain. Did you hear that? Did you read that again?
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord.
So all these building projects, is all of a sudden everybody all of a sudden want to be debt-free, which is fine. Never will I ever come against somebody not wanting to be in debt. But why would you put all of these, you don't want to mess all these giant buildings, and then you want to start paying this stuff off, and you start putting more on the people than it's supposed to be on them. People that really, turn that back up for the light to get out, but people that should be, you know, giving just, you know, all right, y'all want to talk about tithing, that's a whole other story, a whole other Bible study. But just for the sake of right now, let's just say if it was true, everything regarding tithing, okay, if they get it on 10%, what's the problem? Why are we coming back and you're talking about sacrificial offerings and all this stuff? And it's just to fund these vain visions, these vain visions, these vain visions. And later we're going to talk about false burdens that we haven't already talked about. Yeah, we talked about that. No, we didn't.
No.
But actually, let's go to that now.
Yeah.
Okay, Lamentations 2:14. Lamentations 2:14.
Okay, 214. Thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment.
One more time, please.
Thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee.
Hold on. They've seen vain and foolish. Watch this. They've seen vain and foolish things for thee. For thee meaning some, it's like they're prophesying for you. Like they said earlier, they slightly heal, and I didn't even comment on that one. But when you said earlier in Jeremiah 6 and 14 that these prophets have healed the hurt of the daughters slightly, giving them just a little bit of temporary relief by saying, peace unto you, sister, peace. I wanted to elaborate on it, and I apologize for not doing that, but this scripture causing me to remember that. We got to remember how does that play out in churches today? What exactly is that saying? That is talking about don't get these prophecies. Like, you ever notice when you look at preachers today, I'm not going to call no names out, folks, but everything is about you being blessed, 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 which is nothing more than saying peace, peace, peace. Everything's okay with you. You're getting ready to profit. You're getting ready to enlarge, 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 enlarge. I believe in true prosperity. Oh, my goodness. I believe that the Most High wants, I do believe that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. I do believe that he wants us to prosper, that our soul prosper. I do believe that some people are going to be filthy rich. I do believe that Solomon's wisdom, you know, how he made him rich. I do believe that if you pursue him, he is going to want to expose you to the world, and that's going to mean more cameras, more networks, blah, blah, blah. But I do not believe that if your character is not that of Christ, that he want to show you off. As a matter of fact, I also believe in demotion. Sometimes if a person's character is not right and they constantly bring aught against the kingdom, they give the kingdom a bad name, the very best thing for those people is a demotion. You know, a gentleman by the name of Noel Jones preached a message a long time ago, and I remember this message. He said that the Most High will put brakes on you until he gets your character right. So a lot of people, he got brakes on you because you can't keep your mouth closed. Or let's say we. I'm going to put myself in everything. We can't keep our mouth closed. Or some of us, he can't trust us with a lot of money. We'll turn our backs on him. Some of us, he can't trust us traveling by ourselves. Or he can't trust us with a lot of wealth to just go and travel in jets around. I mean, we will grow so far from him. I don't believe in child abuse, giving children authority when they're not mature. So a lot of these preachers, prophets, they just want to bless, 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 bless. And yes, you deserve to be blessed. Nobody should have to go without. Again, like I said before in previous, in the archives, that poverty is of Satan. If you don't have enough, and I don't mean enough based upon Western standards. Well, I don't have a 60 pair of shoes and my neighbor got 200. I need some more shoes. I'm talking about really, really need something. If you don't have enough shoes, that's satanic, it's demonic. Something ain't right. Poverty is not of the Most High. I'll never buy into that. But this greed, where everybody got to have 4 and 5 bedrooms, 3 cars, 2 houses, 1 to 1 and 1 for the summer, if we all really believe that was the Most High's will for us, we have to include India. I mean, don't they deserve it too? We have to include China. Don't they deserve it too?
And if India and China have the very same things we have, we would destroy the planet. They're saying that Americans is causing most of the world pollution right now. This one little country. We've got more so-called, I like to look at America as this giant pimp. It's like we got all these people working for us. China, bring me chocolate. Dominican, bring me T-shirts. So-and-so, bring me rubber. We got all these servants. If everybody was in America, I'm telling you, folks, we would destroy this planet probably in a week. We're already burning up too many trees, cutting down too many trees. Deforestation, as they call it. We're overbearing on this planet. You mean you're going to go and invite China to get the same type of, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? So anyway, folks, I'm letting you know that this prosperity that's being taught is a falsehood. It healed the daughters of Zion slightly, okay? Slightly. But Lamentations 2 and 4, thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee. They have not discovered thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity. They've not discovered the thing to set you free. They've not discovered the thing to bring you out of captivity. Like the song I'm going to play here in a little bit, it talks about how all of us is in some type of captivity. There you have it. Whether you want to admit or not, some of us in one, some, I'll say most of us in some form is in economic captivity, pornographic captivity, prideful captivity. So our prophets have not been able to turn away our captivity, as it's saying, but have seen for us false burden. Oh, I have a burden for the lost. I have a burden. Yeah, you should have a burden for the lost, but is it really a burden, or are you making money of hungry people, putting those kids' faces on the TV that's hungry in Ethiopia and making money? I went to Ethiopia and I didn't see one kid like that. I saw them hungry, though, and I know it's there. But when they show those pictures, it makes you think that whole Ethiopia is like that. That's a lie from the pit. I'm serious, the pit of hell, that is. Ethiopia has beauty that, anyway. Y'all click on my profile on Facebook, you'll see my pictures of Ethiopia. All right. So let's look at some other scriptures before we close out here. Maybe one more. Isaiah 56:11. We're talking about how do we know we Israel. Moses said these are things that's going to be upon you forever, 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 forever. And now he talks about what you are going to go through, how your kids is going to act, how your wives are going to act, or your women. Talks about how the people that rule over you specifically, how they're going to act. Last week, we talked a lot of things about the oppressor, and nobody else can wear the characteristics of the oppressor other than this European that have been put over us. Again, not every single white person, you know, but these people in power. When you look at it, let's see, the archive last week, I go into how the Bible says that he would change times. He would do all types of things to Israel. We talked about that. Check out the archives, okay? We talked about that, how he would oppress through his policy. I don't know if we got into that one, but the scripture does say he would oppress through policy. One scripture in Deuteronomy 32:28 says he'd be void of counsel. The people that rule over us would be void of counsel. Don't try to counsel them. They cannot understand it. They are void of counsel, and neither is there any understanding in them. That's your V-I-V-L-E. Deuteronomy 32:28. This is what I talked about last week, folks. You just got to go to the archives. Archives, archives, archives. That's not in Deuteronomy, Arlene. That's in, yeah, that's in Deuteronomy 32. Okay. Joel 3 and 3 talk about how they will cast lots for our people. A girl be sold for wine and a boy for a harlot. Who went through that in the 60s and 50s? Please, we have lived this Bible. The culture of so-called African America is nothing more than a culture of America, a culture of Israel. Isaiah 56 and 11. Isaiah 56 and 11. Last verse, and we're going to go ahead and play a song. I want y'all to listen to the words too. Actually, I'm going to just read this right quick for time's sake. It says, yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never get enough. Talking about the prophets, the preachers, the teachers of our time that to rule over Israel when Israel is in rebellion. They are greedy. Isaiah 56 and 11.
Let me read 10.
Okay, go ahead and read 10 and 11 quickly.
His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark.
Hold on. Read, is that what the Bible says?
That's what the Bible says.
Read again.
Verse 10. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain, from his quarter.
This is hard verses on us. Wow. Folks, check out this song, Shalom, 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 everyone. Peace. Arlene, you want to say goodbye to people while we play this?
Yeah. Shalom, everybody. Have a good weekend.
Okay, so anyway, my goodness.
Real drum and real bass and real melody. Real songs expressing reality. Chanting mystically in the hills, in the valleys, in the city, against all odds, for when we try. Oh, roots in the rootless world. Jam music has to forward. Roots in the rootless world. Jam music must forward. Roots in the rootless world. Jam music has to forward. In the rootless world, jam music must forward. Jam music is word, sound and power. Jam music is word, sound and power. Don't let it slip away. Your roots and culture. Don't let it slip away. In the city, against all odds, for when we
Vision.